by what has come to be called Obamamania. Chopra then projected Obama forward into the presidency. If Barack Obama makes it all the way to the White House, it will represent a quantum leap in American consciousness and a promise to restore America's position in the world. The site includes a video clip in which MSNBC anchor Chris Matthews claims he felt a thrill going up my leg while listening to an Obama speech. Matthews bubbled on, claiming Obama speaks about America in a way that has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with the feeling we have about our country, and that is an objective assessment. Internet blogger John Swift, writing critically about the Obama Messiah movement, and not impressed by Chris Matthews' gushing, observed that Matthews sounded like a schoolgirl at a Justin Timberlake concert, who doesn't quite understand the strange sensations she is feeling. Conservative critics have pondered whether the Messiah phenomenon will help or hurt Obama. Writing in The American Thinker, J.R. Dunn noted the tendency liberals have to see their leaders as transcendent beings, someone more than human, someone with a touch of the divine. This explains, Dunn argued, why liberals are so attracted to tyrants on the international scene. Examining how liberals tend to put FDR and JFK on a godlike pedestal, Dunn commented that for the American left, leaders don't handle tasks, they lead movements. They embody the spirit of the age. They transform. Leaders, to put it simply, are Führers. Christopher Blosser, webmaster of the Obama the Messiah website, is concerned Obama will turn out to be just another politician, especially if Obama is elected president. On a basic level, my concern is that Obama will ride the wave of emotion and mob enthusiasm to office, with the challenges and inevitable compromises that come with the job. Illusions are going to fade and dreams are going to crumble. People talk as if this man will bring the troops home and end the war within his first year of office. That's a pretty naive hope, considering the global jihadist threat. Call me a cynic, but I have a hunch when you peel off the hope-saturated facade and get down to the hard business of running this country, you will find Obama is a politician, much like any other. I'm concerned when ambiguous talk of unity and change, and yes, we can, carry the day with precious little discussion of how this man actually intends to bridge the gulf between ideological and philosophical convictions. Blosser has not been swept away by Obama's rhetoric. It's very questionable how many of the 20,000 screaming, crying, chanting, and in some cases, fainting fans in any one political rally actually read and are aware of his positions, and how many simply attend for the Obama experience or to witness history in the making and might end up voting for him for that reason alone. When WorldNet Daily was first researching and writing about the Obama the Messiah website, a large number of emails were received from readers objecting that Obama was not the Messiah, but rather the biblical Antichrist, prefigured in St. John's Apocalypse. I am not making the argument that Obama is either the incarnation or reincarnation of the Messiah or the Antichrist. The point here is to demonstrate how Axelrod's politics of personality has elevated Obama to new quasi-religious heights, with followers and detractors alike susceptible to being influenced either positively or negatively by a cult of personality. part of creating a cult of personality is for Obama and his campaign to have a ready supply of memorable phrases. Evidence is accumulating that Barack Obama borrowed some of the catchiest phrases in his campaign speeches and ads from a variety of political and popular sources, all without giving credit or attribution to the original source. A major contributing cause of Obama's liberal borrowing of previously used political language is David Axelrod, who has borrowed freely from client Deval Patrick. On February 18, 2008, the Washington Post reported a Clinton campaign charge that a speech Obama delivered in Wisconsin included a passage nearly identical to one in a speech delivered 2 years earlier by Deval Patrick. In many respects, Obama is asking the public to judge him on the strength of his rhetoric, said Howard Wolfson, a top Clinton advisor, according to the Washington Post article. When we learn he has taken an important section of his speech from another elected official, it raises very fundamental questions about his campaign. As the controversy built, Obama engaged in one of his typical efforts to distance himself, claiming he had not intentionally done anything wrong. At a press conference in Youngstown, Ohio, Obama admitted he should have given credit to his friend, Governor Patrick, saying, "I was on the stump, and Deval Patrick